otros, una limitación a la libertad impuesta en nombre de un bien superior, la salud de otras personas. Algo similar a lo que ocurre con las medidas que los gobiernos en prácticamente todo el mundo han impuesto durante esta pandemia. Por cierto, no faltará quien repita algo que algunos musitaron al comienzo de la pandemia: que todo se abra y siga normalmente, algunos se enfermarán, pero sobrevivirán, y los que tengan que morir, bueno, que se mueran. Esa es, por cierto, una visión deshumanizante, egoísta, individualista en extremo, y que se esconde detrás de los que llaman a terminar con las restricciones. Al final, se trata ya de una visión ideológica, los que priorizan su propio bienestar personal, disfrazado como libertades, sin que les importe el del resto de la sociedad. Conscientes o no de esa ideología subyacente, los manifestantes en Ottawa son portadores de ese mensaje. The Weekly Review: The Ugly Side of a Collective Malaise. This time we will focus our attention on an event that has been going on all these days in the country's capital. We are referring, of course, to the protest that a group of truck drivers have staged in Ottawa after traveling several kilometers from their respective provinces. Although the central point of their mobilization has been their opposition to the vaccination passports that truck drivers must present when entering the country from the United States, in reality the focus has been expanding to other demands, some of them openly seditious, such as the demand that the Governor General dismiss the Prime Minister and dissolve Parliament, a far-fetched formula for staging what would have been a coup d'etat. While this demand may be the product of some feverish minds, inspired, no doubt, by the events at the Capitol in Washington last year, the fact is that as the days progressed and the demonstrators spread out in the Capitol, what was revealed was the ugliest side of Canadian political action. Of course, it cannot be denied that one of the effects of the pandemic has been to alter in an irritating way what used to be the coexistence of citizens and daily normality. By the way, this phenomenon is not unique to Canada. A very similar picture emerges all over the world. The measures adopted by the federal government within its jurisdiction, such as vaccination requirements for domestic and international air travel, or for boarding an intercity train, for example, or by the provincial governments, such as closures of commercial premises, theaters, and schools, and particularly in the case of Quebec, the imposition of a curfew at one point, all of these, of course, caused inconveniences. It is fair to say that in these almost 2 years of the pandemic, a collective malaise has been building up, which in some way finds expression in the events in Ottawa. Up to this point, everything could be analyzed in a more or less rational context. However, some people are outraged by the restrictions imposed on them and, in some cases, may give free rein to their most irrational reactions, which is precisely what the promoters of this truckers' protest have sought to exploit very well, and which has also given them great benefits. At the time of writing, protests had managed to raise $9 million, quite a record considering that such a sum has been raised in less than a week. It is known that a U.S. billionaire made a large donation. We hope that it will be revealed where the other contributions have come from. The money has been used to provide fuel for the trucks and feed the drivers. Defiantly, some protesters in statements to television pointed out that they have the resources to stay there for a long time. This certainly does not endear them to the residents and merchants of downtown Ottawa, who have to contend with the blocking of their streets and the incessant honking of horns. An interesting detail to point out is the insistence of these groups in defense of what they call freedom. In fact, the mobilization was named, with a lot of marketing sense, as the Freedom Convoy. Note that they recycled then old slogans reminiscent of Western propaganda in the Cold War era. In fact, many demonstrators carry banners equating the health measures with communism, not to mention even more absurd signs accusing Trudeau of being a communist. Incidentally, references to freedom are always striking as a publicity device. Few stop to think that, important as freedoms and individual rights are, they are not really absolute. My freedom ends where the freedom of others begins. If you like to listen to your favorite music, for example, it is your right to do so, but if you do it at 3 o'clock in the morning and at full volume, your neighbors will probably call the police, because their right to rest will be trampled. Until a few years ago, which the younger ones probably do not remember, smoking was practically allowed everywhere. But for some time now, the freedom of smokers has been limited to the extent that their habit can cause harm to others. A limitation to freedom imposed in the name of a higher good, the health of other people. Something similar to what is happening with the measures that governments practically all over the world have imposed during this pandemic. By the way, there will be no shortage of people who will repeat something that some mused at the beginning of the pandemic. Let everything open up and continue as normal. Some will get sick, but they will survive, and those who have to die, well, let them die. Of course, that is the dehumanizing, selfish, individualistic vision in the extreme, which hides behind those who call for an end to all restriction in the name of their own limited understanding of what freedom is. In the end, that is an ideological vision. Those who prioritized their own personal welfare disguised as freedoms, without caring about that of the rest of society. Conscious or not of that underlying ideology, the protesters in Ottawa are carriers of that message. Good day.
El derecho de vivir sin miedo en nuestro país, en conciencia y unidad. Libertad, un nuevo pacto.
la paz nuestra canción.
Es fuego de puro amor.
Es palomo, palomar. Olivo del olivar.
Es el canto universal. Cadena clara triunfal. El derecho de vivir en paz.
La 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 la.
He conocido gente valiente, armada con mucho honor, pero también hay decepciones a las que voy a cantar. Se pierden cuando hacen falta, se olvidan de la canción, fingen que no pasa nada, ellos son como un camaleón. Preparan grandes cócteles, mucho whisky, mucho jamón, y llegan a las decisiones pagando con un favor. Calculan cuánto les conviene el tamaño de la porción. Se olvidan de su misma gente, ellos son como un camaleón. Porque cambia de color.
Óyeme, camaleón.
En lo que esconde la mentira y la traición.
Óyeme, camaleón.
Le siguen mintiendo a toda la nación.
Óyeme, camaleón.
Cambian los nombres y no la situación.
Óyeme, camaleón.
¿Pero por qué? ¿Por qué cambia de color?
Óyeme, camaleón.
En lo que vende mentira por ilusión.
Óyeme, camaleón.
Como un dirigente de la selección.
Óyeme, camaleón.
Cambian los nombres y no la situación.
Óyeme, camaleón.
Hay que tener buena memoria para que no vuelva a pasar. No dejemos que más corruptos nos vuelvan a gobernar. Ellos solo se preocupan de la coima y la comisión. Nunca importan sus promesas, todos cambian de color.
Otro personaje, el que te habla en el correcto lenguaje y mantiene a mi gente. Surco al calor de tus cuidados y me aferré a la vida sabedor de mi destino. Y hoy que me siento el amo y el señor de tu cariño, compartiré los versos tradición de lo peruano. Yo me abrigué en el alma del cantor y de su musa, ligando ardientemente al corazón cordón y rosa. Y hoy que siento el perfume y el buque de tu sonrisa, siento la tira prisa el corazón, nací peruano yo. Y hoy que siento el perfume y el buque de tu sonrisa, siento la tira prisa el corazón, nací peruano. Natural de mi terruño, al mundo entero cantaré que soy su hermano de pura cepa y de valor, visto peruano ardiente como el sol que me dio la vida con la fuerza natural.
Y vamos al fichero latino de hoy, 6 de febrero del 2022. Entre los anuncios de interés público tenemos reapertura de los cines mañana lunes. Tal como anunciado por el gobierno de Quebec, a partir de mañana lunes, 7 de febrero, los cines pueden abrir sus puertas, aunque con un límite de aforo del 50% de capacidad. Lo mismo se aplica a otras salas de espectáculos. Para asistir a sus funciones se debe siempre mostrar el pasaporte de vacunación y un documento de identidad.
Y dosis de refuerzo de la vacuna contra el COVID-19. Están abiertas las inscripciones para vacunarse con la tercera dosis a las personas que tengan 18 años y más. Las dos primeras dosis ya están también disponibles para los niños entre 5 y 12 años. Consultar y reservar en línea en el sitio web Clic Santé en francés e inglés.
En la sección publicaciones, l'édition française du livre français Présent Chilien dans la Belle Provence no disponible en la librería de l'Université de Montréal, c'est-à-dire dans les 3200 de la rue Champvrillant, a la librería Bertrand, dans le 430 de la rue Saint-Pierre, dans le Vieux-Montréal, y en ligne sur le site Terrain Noble. Le prix c'est de $10 plus taxes.
The book Chilean Presence in La Belle Provence, English version of the book Presencia Chilena en La Belle Provence, written by Sergio Martinez and Roberto Hervas, is already on sale at Argos Bookstore, located at 1841A St. Catherine West, and Paragraph Bookstore on 2220 McGill College Avenue. Price $10 plus tax.
Edición inglesa del libro Presencia Chilena en La Belle Provence, Chilean Presence in La Belle Provence, escrito por Sergio Martínez y Roberto Hervás, ya está a la venta en la librería Argos en el 1841A Saint Catherine Oeste y en la librería Paragraph en el 2220 de McGill College Avenue. El precio es de $10 más impuestos.
Y el tiempo para hoy, según Environment Canada, la Oficina Meteorológica Nacional de Canadá, nublado con una temperatura máxima de menos 8 grados. Para esta noche, posibilidades de nieve ligera con una mínima de menos 8 grados.
Y recuerde que si usted o su organismo comunitario tiene alguna información que deseen difundir en el fichero latino, solo tienen que comunicarse con nosotros a Latin Time a nuestra dirección electrónica La Plaza. info@gmail.com.
O también puede enviarnos un mensaje en Facebook. Vaya a www.facebook.com/tiempolatino.latintime y de paso denos un like. Nuestra página Facebook también se actualiza ahora diariamente con noticias y reportajes sobre lo que ocurre en América Latina y el mundo. Síganos en Facebook.
Y Tiempo Latino es escuchado en América Latina y en todo el mundo a través del Internet. Entra al sitio de CKUT en la siguiente dirección, www.ckut.ca.
Y usted puede acceder también a nuestro programa en cualquier otro horario, simplemente yendo al archivo de CKUT en el sitio web ya indicado y presionando Latin Time.
Una quiso ver los fuegos de la tierra, su nombre era Luzbel, su historia no es tan bella, vino a los hombres con sol. Penas y le salieron a cazar. Descendía sin saber que le lanzaban. Thank you. sombra de dolor lo encadenó a la tierra, huérfano de perdón, hoy cumple una condena, camina junto a los soldados
Y esto ha sido todo por hoy. Tiempo Latino es una producción del Taller Latinoamericano de Comunicaciones.
Latin Time is a Latin American Communications Workshop production.
Estuvimos hoy con ustedes.
Our team today.
Daniel Lara y Sergio Martínez en las voces.
Sergio Martínez and Daniel Lara at the mics.
Y Rommel Cajavilca en la producción técnica, la compaginación y la selección musical.
And Rommel Cajavilca in the technical production, edition and music selection.
Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
You are listening to the International Radio Report. Your reactions are much appreciated. Feel free to send them to radioreport@yahoo.com. That is, radioreport@yahoo.com. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, February the 6th, 2022. My name's Sheldon, and Jill is with me, as usual, for our 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio here on CKUT-FM in Montreal. If you'd like to reach us, our email address is radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at ckut.ca, website of CKUT Radio in Montreal. Our Facebook page, International Radio Report, has two new members this week. We welcome Charlie and Joe, bringing us to 706 members. And our YouTube channel, if you'd like to go and listen to the show at your convenience, youtube.com/internationalradioreport, and you can subscribe to the channel there as well. We have 567 subscribers. So we invite you to join into the Facebook group and check us out on YouTube. You can go back and listen to previous shows and also some special editions that only appear on the YouTube channel. We'll get going with a lot of information here today from both here in Canada, United States, and around the world. We're going to take you down to the Pacific with a few stories later on in the show. But we start off with our reminder of the upcoming 35th annual NASWA Winter SWL Festival. It is getting closer. March the 4th and the 5th are the dates. The website is swlfest.com. That's swlfest.com. The website has been updated again. It's just about finalized now, I think. They've added a couple new events onto the list. So it is a virtual event. You do have to register for the event, so you can go on the website and do it right there. There is a fee of $10, only $10 for the full 2 days of activities, schedule of events, seminars, workshops, and other activities throughout the weekend. There's a live Zoom hospitality suite open throughout the duration of the event as well. And I'm sure if you've not participated before, you'll have a great time if you're interested in radio at all. So again, it's March 4th and 5th, swlfest.com, the 35th annual NASWA Winter SWL Festival. It is a virtual online event through Zoom. So get all the details at the website and don't forget to go register. It's the only way you can participate. Next Sunday, we have a special day coming up, and we'll be marking it here on our show. It is World Radio Day, Sunday, February the 13th. It's coming up, as we said, next weekend. We'll be marking the occasion on our show with a special edition of the program. We'd like to remind you that if you work at a radio station, consider doing something special next Sunday to mark the occasion. You might want to contact your own local radio stations and see if they have anything special planned. They may not even know about World Radio Day, so you may want to let them know about it. And you can go online and actually register your special programs or events on the World Radio Day webpage. The webpage also gives you some ideas of things that you might consider doing. 13 ideas to celebrate World Radio Day is one of the features on the page. The opening statement says that radio continues to be one of the most trusted and used media in the world, according to different international reports. The theme of the 2022 edition of World Radio Day is devoted to radio and trust. Now, celebrations will be going on throughout the day. It is a UNESCO event, and they're calling on radio stations worldwide to celebrate this being the 11th edition of the event, and to celebrate more than a century of radio. It's divided into three main themes: trust in journalism, and they're telling you to produce independent or high quality content; trust in accessibility, taking care of your audience; and trust and viability of radio stations to ensure competitiveness. The United Nations also has a special page devoted to it, so you can check both of those out. We'll put up the links, but just do a search for World Radio Day, and that will bring you to the various pages. And looking at those 13 ideas is quite handy and helpful to give you some ideas to do something to mark the special day. I'm not sure what we're going to do yet, but we'll come up with something for sure, so check out our show next week. Sweden got something coming up special for World Radio Day. The Swedish DX Association. This was passed along by Christer Brunström through World of Radio. February 13th every year is World Radio Day, an initiative of the United Nations and UNESCO. Of course, the Swedish DX Association also wants to be part of the celebration. It will take place with a special broadcast on Sunday, February the 13th from 1200 to 1300 UTC on 9670 kHz, with a replay from 1600 to 1700 UTC on 6070 kHz via the channel 292 outlet in Germany. As usual, there will be interviews with famous people, in the Swedish DX world, music and various other short features. And the program has been compiled by Goran Lindemark. So you can check that out. If you're not able to hear it directly online, you could, of course, go and use some online receivers. Omitted the frequency on the 1200 to 1300 transmission. That one is on 9670. And the replay, 1600 to 1700, that one is on 6070 kilohertz. So we'll post this up on our Facebook page as well, and you can hopefully check that special broadcast out. We'll probably have more of them taking place next Sunday as well.
Yep, I was actually hearing Radio Romania mentioning that they'll have some special programming that day, so that could be interesting to listen. I know they have a decent signal in the evening, North America, on 5990 at 01 UTC in English, 02 UTC in French. There are probably going to be some other stuff happening around the band, so tune around and I think dedicate that day to listening to the radio.
Yeah. We've let CKUT programmers, the programming department, know about it as well. I'm not sure if they were aware of it, so they were going to pass it along to other programmers at the station. So you may be hearing some other special events on Sunday on CKUT as well.
That sounds great. So more talk on music stations. Is it a winning strategy? This is by Ken Benson from Radio Inc. Is significant talk outside the morning show on a music station a recipe for ratings ruin? The PPM results from several major Canadian markets indicate more talk on a music station is a winning strategy. Since the inception in 2010, 102.3, now radio in Edmonton, has been the number one radio station in the market nearly every single ratings period, and these extraordinary audience figures have made Now Radio Edmonton number one billing station. The Now Radio format doesn't fit into an existing format box. So what is it? Musically, it's a kind of a hot adult contemporary, but plays a lot of 80s and 90s gold, and then, occasionally, they throw in something completely unexpected. On a recent listen, I heard Garth Brooks' Friends in Low Places, Steppenwolf's Born to be Wild, or even Black Sabbath's War Pigs. Strangely, it all works. Now Radio's unique music strategy is only a portion of its winning formula. Now Radio's commitment to its audience is unmatched. It began by promising to answer every text, which was no easy task with over a million texts received in its first 18 months. Today, Now Radio promises to give you as much music and conversation as we can. In fact, the station continues to drive home its Join the Conversation slogan. Now Radio's conversations are led by its host, not DJs. The hosts are real, honest, and without hype. You won't hear them read liner cards or endlessly plug value-added promotions. Nor will you hear them say the station's name. Station IDs are handled by the station voice. Now has set the stage for its hosts to deliver content in every break and in every part of the day. When listening to Now, it feels like the hosts can say whatever they want, whenever they want, and talk as much as they want. Pattison Media, Now Radio's owner, introduced a similar format at 101.5 Today Radio in Calgary 3 years ago. Like Now Radio, Today Radio is consistently the market's rating leader. The group has incorporated many of Now Radio's winning ways into its music stations throughout the nation. And other broadcasters have taken notice of Pattison's success. And more Canadian music stations are quickly adding more multi-person shows and increasing the personality quote. For instance, CFOX in Vancouver added a two-person afternoon show to complement its top-rated morning show last summer. In the U.S., 2021 saw Q99.7 in Atlanta expand its content commitment by adding the two-person Jade and Mo drive show and Z100 New York, followed the trend by adding Maxwell and Crystal to afternoons. Rocker KISW in Seattle has been a market leader for years with its talk-intensive BJ and Meg's morning show, and its four-person afternoon show, The Men's Room. Great radio stations have always been a result of what happens between the records, and based on the Canadian PPM ratings, re-emphasis the personality on music radio is a winning strategy. You know, I think that is a very good strategy. I tend to listen more to stations that have a mix of music, but also with DJs or people that talk about radio music and that can entertain you in between songs. It is much more entertaining than just music all the time.
And having local people, too, I think is important. There's a lot of syndicated stuff out there, which doesn't really have any local content to it. So having local people, live people in studio, interacting with the audience, DJs or hosts, as they're calling them, who know the city, know what's going on in the city, they know the people. I'm putting this challenge out to Montreal Radio right now because we don't have anything like this.
Nope.
And we desperately need something to shake things up in Montreal. Virgin Radio, hello, guys. Your ratings stink. You're dropping constantly. Do something. Shake things up a little bit. You know, look at this. You know, stations in Montreal are famous for copying what other stations are trying to do. So why isn't somebody copying this? Really love to see something like this happening here in Montreal. Our friend Mickey Delmage out in Edmonton, he's been telling me about this radio station in Edmonton for a long time, and I think I know why now. You know, it sounds like something that a lot of us would like to hear coming out of the radio, and the numbers are showing that it's working.
And you know what? That will bring people back to radio that might not be there, because let's face it, what's the difference between a station that plays music 24 hours with pretty much nothing else and just a few ads from a streaming content on the web? Same thing. It's just that it's on the radio and people will go on the web because at the web they'll have what they want. Here, you get personalities, you get talk, you get stuff that you don't find on the web that much. Exception to the rule, with the SiriusXM subscription I have, I've noticed that they are embarking on, you know, stations like an 80s station that I listen to that is driven with DJs that talk, that give you little tidbits of, you know, artists and the inside story of a song. And, you know, we want that. And we want that on the radio also.
Yeah, I'm the same with SiriusXM. The station that I'm tuned to mostly is run by little Steven Van Zandt from Bruce Springsteen's band, and a record producer and actor, author. I mean, he's into everything. And his station is called The Underground Garage. And it's a mix of 50s, 60s pop music, rock music, up to new music included as well. But like you said, every show has a DJ. And it's a DJ who knows music, knows even some of the artists. They're older DJs. There are some guys that are in their late 60s, early 70s, who were big time personality DJs in the past. And he's brought them back onto radio on Sirius. And it's really, I really enjoy listening to it. And so it looks like it's working with these Western Canada stations and moving into some stations in the East and down into the States as well. So I think it's a good sign. Let's hope it keeps going. Now, how this story is growing in the past few days is really quite amazing. And I had to put this story into the show today. For any older listeners to our show out there who remember the TV show WKRP in Cincinnati, anyone in the radio industry watched this show religiously. Many of them referred to it as a documentary more than a sitcom, because they recognize people, the characters that in their own stations that they worked at and people that they came across in their careers. Sadly, one of the main characters on the show, Dr. Johnny Fever, played by actor Harold Hessman. Harold Hessman passed away this past week at the age of 81. This comes from the Associated Press. Howard Hessman, who played the radio disc jockey Johnny Fever, Dr. Johnny Fever, I should say, on the station sitcom WKRP in Cincinnati, and the actor turned history teacher Charlie Moore on the Head of the Class TV show, has died at the age of 81. He died Saturday in Los Angeles due to complications from colon surgery, his manager Robbie Cass said on Sunday. Hessman, who had himself been a DJ in the 60s, earned 2 Emmy nominations for playing Johnny Fever on CBS's WKRP in Cincinnati, which ran for 4 seasons from 1978 to 1982. The role made Hessman a counterculture icon at the time when few hippie characters had made it onto network television. I think maybe Johnny smokes a little marijuana, drinks beer and wine, and maybe a little hard liquor, Hessman told the New York Times in 1979 as he readied for one of 3 Saturday Night Live hosting gigs. And on one of those hard mornings at the station, he might take what for many years was referred to as a diet pill, but be it a moderate user of soft drugs, specifically marijuana. He was born in Lebanon, Oregon. Hessman wasn't so disconnected from some of the characters he played. In 1983, he told People magazine that he had conducted pharmaceutical experiments in recreational chemistry. He was jailed in San Francisco in 1963 for selling marijuana. He started out as a member of the San Francisco improv group, The Committee, and at the time, he moonlighted on Saturdays as a disc jockey for the San Francisco rock and roll station KMPX. Later, on WKRP in Cincinnati, Hessman often ad-libbed his on-air banter. He received Emmy nominations in 1980 and 81 for his work on the show as a Dr. Johnny Fever. And with his shades, mustache, and slouch, he became a counterculture icon. Now, this obituary that I posted up this week sparked so much reaction, and I've been seeing so much other reaction online from people predominantly in the radio business, people who had worked in it, or just real fans of the show and fans of radio. One in particular I pulled out was from Jay Allen, who wrote to Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. He said, quote, "As a guy who spent most of my career in broadcasting, I enjoyed WKRP and Howard Hessman quite a bit. Sitcoms are like caricatures of life, and every character in that show is an image of someone I ran into during my years in radio. Although the show was done in a very farcical way, I relished the fact that I could identify a real person with every person on that show. It was more real than it seemed." And that sums it up, I think, really, really well. So many people I've heard from and talked to said that, you know, they really looked at WKRP as a documentary more than a sitcom, that a lot of that weird stuff going on at that time in radio was actually going on in radio. So they were just mirroring it on the TV show, maybe, you know, stretching it a little bit. But if you have a chance, you can get a whole bunch of the WKRP shows on YouTube, believe it or not. So just type in WKRP in Cincinnati, sit back and enjoy them. They aged really well. I watched a few of them this week and was laughing just as hard as I did back in the late 70s and early 80s.
You know, of all the sitcoms, you have one here and there that a very strong character just stands out. And forever, it's going to be part of your, you know, your life, your brain is, it's just there. And Dr. Johnny Fever is one of that. It still strikes me today, and I still remember. So what's happening with the sun? It's actually having quite a few sunspots again. There are some flares almost every day, minor flares, but it's bringing a lot of little brushes of solar wind from the coronal mass ejections. So through the week, we had, you know, every day a few hours of good conditions mixed in with a few hours where conditions deteriorated, and we had minor geomagnetic storms at times, unsettled conditions. That's pretty much what we expect to continue for the week to come. Some info from Solar Cycle 25. From a different point of view, we were talking how it's rising faster and that it could be a big solar cycle. There's a article on space weather says, "For much of the past year, the space weather community has been buzzing about the strong performance of young Solar Cycle 25. Every month, sunspot numbers seem to blow past official predictions. This means we're about to have a strong solar maximum, right? Not so fast," cautions Dr. Ron Turner, an analyst at the ANSWER Research Institute in Virginia. "It might be too early to anticipate a strong solar cycle." And they're showing a graph where they put solar cycle 24 and 25 start together. And he says, Solar Cycle 25 is doing something interesting. It is mimicking old Solar Cycle 24. I took sunspot numbers from the early days of 24 and overlaid them on Solar Cycle 25. They're almost a perfect match. So this is significant because Solar Cycle 24 went on to become the weakest solar cycle in a century. Its hot start did not lead to a strong maximum. I'm not saying that Solar Cycle 25 will likewise be a dud, but rather these early sunspot numbers are not enough to guarantee a strong cycle. So there's a solar wind flowing from a minor coronal hole that might actually brush with the geomagnetic field today on February 6th. And we have a sunspot number count of 84, the solar flux 127. Let's try to keep that up above 100. It's always nice and the higher bands are open. And the best thing to do is to turn on that radio and listen.
This is Glenn Hauser. You're listening to the International Radio Report. 30 minutes of radio news and information every Sunday morning on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal and online at ckut.ca.
Now, you've got a bunch of little stories all coming from the Pacific region of the planet. So yep. You may want to group all of those together. I think they're all quite interesting.
So there's there's the Amateur Radio in Tonga Emergency, Radio Society of Great Britain, GB2RS News Team, via Mike Terry to Glenn Hauser's World of Radio. Many radio amateurs have expressed concern over the situation in the Kingdom of Tonga after the eruption of the volcano. The IARU Region 3 representative says that amateur radio in Tonga is difficult as there are currently no HF operators and few transceivers in storage. An emergency communication network may be set up in the amateur radio service in the future. Operators have been asked to keep IARU Region 3 emergency frequencies clear. They are 3600-7110-14300, 18160, and 21360. Amateurs may maintain a watch on those frequencies at least when propagation is open to the region. And a related story, Solomon Islands shortwave update via Brian Clark of World of Radio. I've been in dialogue with Martin Hadlow, who had been the World Radio TV Handbook collaborator for Solomon Islands. At my request, he has been in touch with SIBC, and he has just advised had a response from the SIBC in Honiara. Their medium wave transmitter is on and working okay. The problem is with the Japanese manufactured transmitter on shortwave. I think the one transmit runs both 5020 and 9545 frequencies. The Solomon Island Broadcasting technical team is getting advice from the Japanese manufacturer. The equipment came back on the air briefly a few days ago, but it's off again now. They are working as hard as they can to get it fixed. So let's hope that the Solomon Islands gets back on the air. Radio Simban, Australia, on air since the late 90s. Radio Simban is based in Sydney, New South Wales, and it was established aiming to serve the Greek community of the city. The station is being heard by DXers, many using SDRs online in Australia, on 2368.5 kHz approximately. So that's something to maybe take a listen to. Might be a hard one here in North America, but taking some online SDRs near Australia might actually get a little signal there. And finally, there's Radio Vanuatu back on the air on shortwave. This is via Manuel Mendez, World of Radio. Vanuatu, 5040 kHz. Radio Vanuatu, Port Vila, 0753 to 0802 UTC, heard on February 2nd. English comments mentioned Vanuatu music, ID at 800 UT, and Radio Vanuatu 7 o'clock news, fair signal. So good news to see that a lot of the Pacific Islands seem to be activating or reactivating some shortwave signals here.
Kind of makes you wonder if the volcanic eruption in Tonga might have sort of sparked some people to get up and try and get things working again, realizing that radio is going to be an efficient way to communicate Seeing that other things like cell phones and internet and all those things were down, radio is the fallback. And if they weren't working, well, maybe this will jolt them into getting the work done that needs to be done to get them back on the air.
So we have upcoming AM radio contests.
Looks like another busy weekend coming up. We'll run through these quickly. First off is the YBDX RTTY contest. It's a 24-hour contest, 0-100 to 2359 Zulu, March 12th. It's organized by the Organization of Amateur Radio in Indonesia. It's running on bands 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz, and it's radio teletype only.
You've got the RSGB Commonwealth contest organized by the Radio Society of Great Britain. That's 10 Zulu March 12th to 10 Zulu March 13th. The bands are 3.5, 7, 14, 21, and 28 megahertz, CW only.
There is the AGCW QRP contest, 1400 to 2000 Zulu March 12th. That one is organized by the German Telegraphy Activity Group. 80 through 10 meter bands, no work bands, and it is all modes, but it is low power only, QRP.
There's the Oklahoma QSO Party, 15 Zulu March 12th to 21 Zulu March 13th, organized by the FMT Frequency Measuring Test Group, K5CM. Bands is all bands and all modes.
The EAPSK 63 contest, organized by the Union of Spanish Radio Aficionados, 1600 Zulu March 12th to 1600 Zulu March 13th. That is a PSK 63 mode contest. The bands are 10 through 80 meters.
There's the Idaho QSO Party, 19 Zulu March 12th to 19 Zulu March 13th, organized by the Pocatello Amateur Radio Club. Modes, phone, CW, and digital, or any combination. Bands 160 through 10 meters. No work bands.
The North American Sprint RTTY, 2300 March 12th to 0300 Zulu March 13th, organized by the National Contest Journal. It is 80, 40, and 20 meters only, and it is RTTY only.
And finally, we have the Wisconsin QSO Party, 18 Zulu March 13th to 01 Zulu March 14th, organized by the West Allis Radio Amateur Club. Modes, CW and phone. Digital is counted as CW. FT8, FT4 QSOs are not allowed. And the band is 160 through 70 centimeters. So a lot of bands there.
Lots of activity on the ham bands coming up next weekend, so you can check all of those out, both as a ham operator or as a shortwave listener. We'll put links up to all of those and links up to some of our other stories. And if you have time, go and check out Dr. Johnny Fever and WKRP on YouTube. It's a lot of fun. I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's all about radio and the strange goings-on at radio during the late 70s and early 80s. Have a great week, everybody. We will talk to you again next week for our World Radio Day special on the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Have a great week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Baby, if you've been wondered whatever became of me. I'm living on the air in Cincinnati. Cincinnati WKRP. Got kind of tired of packing and unpacking. Town to town, up and down the dial. Maybe you and me would...
You know we've got to find sister, don't punish me sister, with brutality, sister, talk to me sister, so you can see sister.